All right, welcome back on this Saturday morning to the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
It's Mike and Nicole.
It's us.
And if you're looking on Facebook, Instagram, something, we're going to have a, we might be doing a name change.
We might change
the name of the show.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do that. So we were going to talk about my uncle from Arkansas. That really nobody wants to hear about, but we're going to talk about him anyway.
Let's do it.
His name is Mike as well.
Oh my gosh. Is his last name Moore?
His last name is not Moore. His last name is Slaybaugh.
Oh, woo.
S-L-A-Y-B-A-U-G-H.
Okay.
He is the son of my grandfather's brother.
I think I got that.
Yeah. So he's a cousin.
Okay.
But they always called him Big Mike and... Then me, I was regular Mike, but he's
regular, not Lil.
No, he's quite a bit older.
Add that to your street
name.
Yeah,
he's probably 25. Yeah, Little Mike. But they didn't call me Little Mike. They just called him Big Mike. He was tall.
Yeah,
and so he was Big Mike, but he's probably 20, 25 years older than I am.
Okay,
but he's a rice farmer. They farm rice, cotton. Oh man, down there.
Talk about labor intensive.
Yes,
that stuff is no joke.
They do that wheat as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he was farming about 5,000 plus acres down in Arkansas. And
that's a lot down there.
Yeah. And when I was younger, I went down and I helped him on the farm. I remember some of the fun things we did was water moccasins are fairly popular down there.
Oh my.
And you know, yet to farm rice, you had to flood the field. So
yes.
The field is always water.
Water.
So they would get water moccasins, those snakes. And we would go down and hunt them. We would shoot them just for,
wow.
I don't think there was any purpose behind. I don't think it was. He did say that when you drain the field and they stayed in the field, that they would cause a problem with the combine.
Oh sure.
If they got caught in the combine.
So yeah.
But it never seemed to be a problem.
That's like us up here with like raccoons. Yeah.
But you know, I used to drive a combine for him.
Did you?
Yes.
So great. So I can call you next
call
week
me.
Then. Oh,
but
you should have never said that.
But I think the technology might have changed in 30 years.
Right. You don't really have to do much. You just kind of hang out. We could air the next show from the combine.
We could do it.
Oh, things are happening.
On remote. We could do remote from the combine.
Yep.
But I had a lot of fun. I did that. And another thing we went down there, we went jug fishing for catfish. We took milk jugs out there and fish for catfish.
Did you eat catfish?
Oh, yes.
I've never had it, but I
were
had
really
a...
really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
People say.
It was funny. We just put these jugs out in a lake, and then you would see the jug moving around. You know that it had a catfish, so then you'd have to chase it down in the boat and grab the jug and bring up the catfish. And these catfish were probably 2-3 feet long. I mean, they were big catfish. And then we cut them up and grill them on the, fry them.
Okay.
Catfish fry. Yeah. It was fun. But had some good times down in Arkansas. But he actually just recently retired and sold his farming operation. And, you know, the way that land is and stuff, he's doing quite well.
Good.
So it was good that he did that, but it was fun hanging out with
him. Always say farmers are... equity rich, cash poor.
Right.
They live on nothing, but the land is always worth something.
Yes. So yeah. So when he cashed out,
mm-hmm.
and he had some kids, but none of the kids went into farming.
Okay.
So they went to universities and are involved in other things, but none of them wanted to come back and farm.
That is a problem in the agricultural community in general.
Does that happen around here?
Absolutely. There's either not enough room on the farm or, you know, kids are interested in a specific kind of agricultural that maybe they can't, you know, totally encompass on a farm. Like there's a lot of, like you said, technology going on. So there's a lot of like AMS specialists or a GPS or, you know, soil sampling, precision planting, all this other cool stuff going on that you can't really capitalize on a family farm.
Sure.
So, you know, they go into those areas and maybe work for a John Deere or somebody else instead of coming back to the farm.
So how was your dad lucky enough to get you to stay on the farm?
Well, I went to SDSU and when I graduated, I was desperately looking for a job. My mom was best friends with Barb Cook, so she hired me and got like a grant to pay me basically nothing, but I loved it. So I started out working for Huron Housing. And then that same year, that October during harvest, my dad begged me to come and just pay bills at night, you know, just a few nights a week. So I was like, okay, no big deal. I can do that. And then by the next May, he was like, all right, you need to come here full time. I need you. So I couldn't tell him no.
Did you say, show me the money and I'll be over? I mean, was there a negotiation? Did you need to hire me as your agent?
I probably needed an agent. I don't know.
Did you need a raise? You sent me in. I'll drive the combine. I'll talk to your dad. We'll get you a raise. I'll get a percentage, though.
Okay. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure that out. But no, that's nice that you came back and did that. And What was your degree at SDSU?
So I was a sociology major with a specialization in human resources and a business minor. So
all right, well, that's
pretty much exactly what I'm doing. Just add a little farming in there and
you're good to go. But they do have majors that deal with like agriculture, engineering,
oh, yeah, tons
and things
of them.
Like that over at SDSU.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty well known for that.
Yeah, they're heavy on their agricultural majors.
Yeah, that's good for the state. And they come back. And a lot of those, they do stay here. The graduates do stay here and and work in farming operations here in the area, I guess.
Yep.
Good. So, all right. Are we just going to talk about farming? Is this the whole show about
farming?
I
could.
I mean, yeah, because I don't know very much about farming, but well, you're like the big resource on farming. But
yeah,
I guess we should get to the show.
Yeah, let's get to the juicy stuff.
You didn't add farming to any of the proposed
names. I did. No, that is not on my list.
Yeah, and I think the farmers that are listening know that I don't know anything about this.
Okay.
So they're probably...
I can work on something.
I do want to bring up one thing. I went out through my job. Sometimes I have to deal with farming operations through ordinances and permit and stuff like that. So sometimes I have to go out and do some research, I guess, on the farm. And I went out to a dairy farm and spent some time with them trying to understand their operation. And they were going to expand, and the county was trying to determine whether that expansion was good for the county, and the county commissioners have to do it. So we have to do, I kind of took it upon myself. I do kind of a little report.
Okay.
And I tell the commission, here's what they're doing. Here's why they're doing it. Here's the issues, whatever. And, but the dairy farming, I don't know if you know anything about that, but that's really was interesting to me how they, like technology wise.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for these, because I was in this barn and they were feeding these babies.
Yeah.
They don't feed them on the mamas because the mamas are milking for other purposes, commercial purposes.
Right.
So they have these babies in there and they're giving them milk, but they have collars on. And if they drink too much, then it turns them off. They can't get any more. I was like, well, that's not nice, is it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm one of those people that like buys the cage-free eggs at the store just because it makes me feel better. So,
All right. Those free-range age.
Yeah. Yeah, those are harder to find, the free-range ones.
Yeah, they're probably a little bit more spendy too, aren't they? But all right. So, so I have no little dairy farming, little we had some hog confinements that are controversial in the county. But I have to go out and kind of do the same thing, look into research. And, you know, one of the things I learned about the hog confinement that I thought was interesting, that all these farmers are going to laugh, but I just thought it was good that the gestation cycle for a hog is 3 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days.
Yep.
3, 3, 3.
And a lot of people, I mean, don't get me started on the hog thing, but a lot of people are against hogs just, you know, for just from the outside looking in because they smell and whatever. But you'd be surprised if you do your research and go out and go through some of these hog farms. The technology and the way these hogs are kept and the facilities that they're kept in are above par.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, I was never out at the finished operation. And I think there is one operating now that they permitted in the county.
Yes.
And I haven't been out there. I don't even know what the name of it is, but I haven't been out there since they finished. I was out there at the beginning and kind of looking at what they wanted to do and stuff and provide that report to the commission. And then the commission makes a decision. A lot of people think I make those decisions. I don't. I'm an information gatherer.
Yeah.
So I'm like the police for my job.
Right.
When the police, they investigate, I make a decision.
Yep.
Well, in this case, I investigate and the commission makes the decision.
County commission, right?
County commission. Yes. Yeah. So it's interesting. But, we are an agricultural community. I mean, I salute those guys that are out there that are farming and doing that and keeping us fed. How about the our president and his little trade wars? Has that impacted the farming here?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Hugely.
And how so?
About $2 on beans and about $1 on corn. No, that's a little exaggerated. Maybe 50 cents on corn, but at least $2 on beans. I gave you the number of what we forward contracted grain, specifically beans, for 2-3 months ago as to what you would have to sell them at harvest if you don't have storage for your grain, a lot of figures. It's a lot of money. Oh, absolutely.
So, and why is that? I mean, because they put these, so we are tariffing China's goods, and China is a big buyer of
so they just said, fine, we'll go get our grain somewhere else. We'll go get it from South America. They grow plenty of beans. So what will happen is the demand will just shift, right? There's always loopholes. So instead of China buying our grain directly, they're still going to buy it from us, but it's going to go through, you know, Canada. It's going to go to South America first and then to China. You know, it one way or another, it all gets where it needs to go. It's just, you know, the farmer, the producer in any part of, you know, the food right. market is who gets hurt.
All right. That's interesting. And we're up with our segment, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more, maybe farming. We'll keep going on the farming issue, or we'll talk about something legal. So you're listening to the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.